Blog Talk Radio.
Gatewood with the Gatewood Brothers Radio Show. We call it the Gatewood Brothers Radio Show, but we are really the Brothers For Real Radio Show. We call it the For Real Radio Show because we try our very best to keep it real. Now, it's hard to keep it real in a fake world today, but we try our best to keep it real. I'd like to remind everybody that the show tonight has some very outstanding guests. We have some very outstanding guests tonight. We have Miss Danielle Brown with the A. Philip Randolph Institute. We also have Ms. Mary Ellery Bennett, an Anson County, a local Anson County recording artist. We're so excited about her. Looks like we have a producer on the line, Mr. Daniel Gatewood on the line. Daniel, is that you on the line, man?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
Okay, hold on. Don't talk yet. Hold your horse. Like to welcome
right,
everybody
to
the show. Okay, good deal. I'd like to remind everybody that the views of the Brothers For Real are not necessarily the views of our guests. Please keep that in mind. The views of the Brothers For Real are not necessarily the views of our guests. But don't worry about it. We all good. I'd like to get right into some stuff we have coming up. Man, I'm so busy these days, I can't keep up myself. I'm about like Danielle Brown. I can't keep up with myself. We'll talk to her in a minute. She'll explain what I meant in just a minute. But I can't keep up with myself. We have coming up at the Hollis Center, in case you guys didn't know, I'm going to talk about this first. We're going to talk about all this stuff that's going on in the world as far as politics in a little bit. But we're going to get into some things that are going on at the Hollis Center first. We've got a lot going on. The big thing I want to talk about is coming up very soon. Let's start with what's going on this Sunday. Normally we have Justice Administration at the center at 3 o'clock on Sundays. But this Sunday we're gonna have Mr. Gerald Balcom. Mr. Gerald Balcom is with Campus Connections. He's gonna be at the Hollis Center to talk about his program, Campus Connect. Mr. Gerald Balcom with Campus Connections is going to be at the center to talk about his program and how he is introducing young people across the country to all of the HBCUs across the country. He takes bus trips, going up and down the East Coast, visiting all the HBCUs, trying to let young people know all of the opportunities that are at the HBCUs throughout the country. So he'll be there at the Holliston at 3 o'clock. Parents, bring your kids. He has some great information for you, and he will need the parents to come along with the children, okay? Also coming up at the Hollow Center, and Miss Danielle Brown's going to talk more about this later. Also coming up at the Hollow Center, we have the, let me get back to it right quick. Also coming up at the Hollow Center, I'm sorry, also coming up at the Hollow Center, we have the Seafood and Blues Festival. That's coming up Friday, September 27th. We're going to be having some seafood and some blues music. We're going to have a fish and karaoke and line dancing and open mic. And it's going to be an all-night thing, guys. Not all night. I didn't say that. But we will be there having a good time most of the night. Let's take a break right quick and get to one of our guests. We have Miss, because I don't want to hold this lady up, man. Mary Ellaby Bennett, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
You're doing great. Let me see how to start off with you tonight. Yeah, I just asked you how you were doing. You're doing great. Tell me how your song's doing.
My song is doing exceptionally well. I've gotten a lot of support from my community as well as in Virginia and Maryland. So it's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I talked to my brother Robert. Ladies and gentlemen, my brother Robert, who is the actual sponsor of this show. It will not be with us tonight, but I talked with him tonight or earlier today and told him you're going to be on, and he was so disappointed that he wouldn't be on, but he said he might chime in later. But you know, Robert has a Friday morning show from 10:30 to 11:30. On Radio 1 in Washington, D.C. And he did tell you that he wanted you to come on his show in the very near future, okay? So don't let me forget that. Don't let me forget that. I think he comes in right behind Al Sharpton on Radio 1 in Washington, D.C. So that's a big opportunity. So, Mary, tell us about your song. Tell us what made you write that song. Let's start with this. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a wife, a mother of four, a business owner. I own my own hair salon. I'm a co-pastor. As you can see, I wear many hats. But I've been writing and singing for a long, long time. Long, long time.
Mm-hmm. You said you've been writing and singing for a long, long time. Couldn't have been that long. How old are you?
I am 40. I just turned 40 this year. I started writing and singing when I was about 12.
Okay. When you're about 12. That's cool stuff. Now, tell us about this song you have now, Still Standing. I personally love it to death. And if it's
Thank
okay,
you.
We'll play it later. If it's okay with you,
Thank
we'll
you.
Play it later.
Yes, I would love to play it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Sure. So tell us about that song, how it came about, what made you write it, how it got this. It's just a beautiful arrangement to me, you know. And I like music. I'm a DJ, so I hear a lot of music, and I know good music when I hear it. So just tell us a little more about that particular song.
Well, the song is basically my testimony. I've gone through a lot of things over the past 13 years. And this song, it doesn't really give you the full effect of everything that I've gone through, but it does give you an overview of some of the things that I dealt with. And in spite of dealing with those situations in my life, I came out still standing. A lot of times it felt like, oh, God, I wasn't going to make it out. But with the help of God, I did. And so I wanted to write this song to put, just let everybody know that maybe dealing with something in the moment, maybe going through something right now that they don't feel like they can come out of, that, there is hope. Hang on in there. And, you will be found standing if you keep your faith in God. So that's basically where that song originated from, just my own personal experiences.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Once you listen to it, there are a lot of things that they, I'm sure, relate to a lot of people. So when I heard it, I mean, you know, I just, oh man, that's a cool one right there. I said, that's a good one. We like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like
thank
we
you.
Sure. Stay on the line, please. We'd like to have another brother that's joined in on the line, Joseph Gatewood in Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you tonight, brother?
Doing great, Leon. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Get off your speakerphone for me. Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad you are. How are things in Charlotte?
Charlotte's about to change, man. People still coming to Charlotte. I don't know. There must be something here that people hadn't told me about. But I've been here for, you know, since 1976. Of course, I understand that Charlotte's a great place to live, but man, they coming up in here now.
How many did you say were coming per day or week?
Right now we got about 60 people per day moving to Charlotte. Over a 10-year period, that's another city the size of Greensboro. That's on the way to Charlotte. And on every corner you turn on, there's a new apartment everywhere. Matter of fact, they tore down a row of office buildings over here where my office is and put apartments. So they getting rid of them. So I'm just
interested in,
you know, huh?
I was just saying, interesting thing, on every corner you turn, there's somebody like he's kind of standing there too, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people over here, panhandlers, and quite frankly, I'm tired of them, really, because just about everybody in Charlotte want a job can get a job. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I saw a guy standing out inside of the QT holding a sign saying that he wanted somebody to give him some money. And right there where he was standing in front of a sign that said, help wanted.
Ah, boy. That's a tough one right now. He didn't see that.
You know, I'm as sympathetic and empathetic towards people in need as anybody, but if you're a strong, healthy person, you don't need to be standing outside the road, standing outside the street, inconveniencing people, saying that, I work for food, and you got help wanted signs all over the city. Don't make sense.
You think it's a situation where they're not employable?
If they are employable, but they probably don't want to do the work that they are qualified to do.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, it's tough out here, man. I see people all day asking for money and things of that nature. It's a tough call sometimes whether you're going to do it or not, because it's really picking up now. When I say picking up, you get more and more people doing it. It's a tough call,
I just left the office a few moments ago, and there were one person on each corner at the intersection. Holding the sign, saying they were, and you know, I'm gonna go ahead and say it, that most of them are white people,
right?
And they're probably strung out on opioids or some of that stuff, but I think really they should go and try to get some help, or if you can stand on the sign, if you can stand on the corner all day long, in 80 and 90 and 100 degree weather, you can probably go work on a job.
That's hard work right there.
I mean, just like I say this a lot of times. You might see Joseph Gatewood scrubbing floors. You might see Joseph Gatewood cutting yards. You might see Joseph Gatewood cleaning bathrooms or raking leaves or whatever to make a living. But you will not see Joseph Gatewood stand on the corner holding a sign and begging. Because from my perspective,
in case anybody's wondering, that's Joseph Gatewood talking. I was just letting everybody know you weren't talking about anybody else but yourself at that moment.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Because what I'm saying, because from my perspective, any kind of work is honest work as long as it's legal. But like, for example, I've done all the work that I just mentioned. I have actually done that type of work. And if I had to go back to doing that type of work, I would do it. And I would do it with no reservations. But I'm just tired of doing
that.
I'm tired of you folks standing out on the corner. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, see, Joseph, you're going through it to a greater degree than I am, because I'm down here, you know, in Wadesboro. And if I see somebody every now and then ask for money, I normally know him or something. I say, "Hey, man, go ahead. You know what I'm saying?" So I see what you're saying. You're going through it like every corner,
every exit. I'm tired.
Some people, that's their job.
Yeah, I know. And some people, that's their job.
That's what they wake up and clock in doing all day.
I know. That's true. But I'm going to tell you another thing, too. And since the white people have started doing it, I've seen more and more black people doing it. And that goes back to what one of my college professors said years ago. She said, in any given society, the oppressed society will pick up the worst habit of the oppressors. So right now you have black people out here, instead of wanting to compete to get all these jobs that are available and trying to get some education and training, now they're out here competing to get a freaking corner to stand on and ask for money.
I'm getting ready to say, I was just going to say, you sound like you about fed up, brother.
I am fed up. Let me tell you, I was down in Savannah a couple weeks ago, and there was an old black man. I met him on the elevator. He was on a walker, and had been out fishing, trying to catch some fish for his dinner. And he said, well, you... And he saw me, you know, you're a tourist. You know how tourists, you know, we look pretty, you know, prosperous. I mean, we may not be, but, you know, we put on your best face when you go out of town. So he saw me and
took a bath. Yeah.
I took a bath, took a shave, you know, cut your hair and all that stuff. So, you know, you're looking pretty good. Anyway, he saw me. He said, young man, I didn't correct him. I didn't want to tell him I'm not a young man, but anyway. He said, "You think you can help me out? I've been fishing all day, and you can see what my catch was. I didn't catch too much. I'm trying to put together my meal." I went and gave that old man, he was an old man. He was older than me, looked more fragile than me. I went in my pocket and gave him some money without hesitation. And when I did it, my daughter was with me. She sent my granddaughter to catch up with the man. So she gave him some money. So my point is, now that man to me, first of all, he was much older than me. So I know that he's not in the physical condition that I'm in. But when I see these young men out here in their 30s, 25, stronger than me, bigger than me, out asking me to give them my money, I'm not going to do it.
I'm with you, brother. How much, your brother?
I'm homeless. I mean, one, I'm not going to buy you a house. Okay? What are you doing homeless?
I caught you right today, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the brother For Real radio show. We're still standing and voting, and we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Stay on the line, because we have some more to hear from Miss Mary Ellaby Bennett as well as Miss Danielle Brown. But we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
It's my time to testify. I'm standing on the Word of God, realizing that it's Him that's brought me this far. Many are the trial that I have been through, but God has kept me, and to him all praise is due. When the enemy tried to make me fall, on his name I did call, and because of him I can say,
I'm still standing.
I'm still standing.
I'm still standing.
Yes, I am.
I'm still standing.
Through it all.
I'm still.
Was attacked by infidelity, sickness, money issues, attacked in all areas. I said, oh Lord, what am I gonna do? So-called friends and family talked about me. Anger and depression was all around me. But God held me up, cleaned me up, and said, I'm making and preparing you. Oh,
I'm still standing.
Said, I'm standing.
I'm still standing.
Yes, I am.
I'm still standing.
Through it all.
Through it all. I'm still standing.
Ooh. I cry many nights, I pray many days. You said you're so strong, but I was barely holding on. I tried to help many, but they're the ones that hurt me most. Because of you, God, I couldn't let go. It was because you were holding me close. It was.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brothers For Real radio show. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3811. 3872. You're welcome to call in and ask questions. Like I always say, we enjoy talking to ourselves, but we would love to hear from you every now and then. Sister Bennett, now, you got yourself happy, didn't you? I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice. You just got yourself happy all over again off that song. I feel it. It's a beautiful thing. So that's you. Is there anyone? Daniel, what did Daniel have to do with this?
Mr. Daniel had, he was the producer, but he was more than that to me. I actually sent him this song last year, and with everything I had going on, you know, it was one thing after another. I didn't pursue it, and he went ahead and put the music to it and sent it to me and said, look, you know, I think you need to come on into the studio and record this. I think it's a really good song. So he really encouraged me to focus on my passion. My music is my passion. But, you know, as you can hear in my testimony, I've been through so much that I learned how to put myself on the back burner and take care of everybody else and, you know, just kind of put myself on the back burner. But when he reached out to me, it made me think, and I listened to the music that he had put behind it, and I was just amazed, and I was like, you know, I've got to get in the studio, and I've got to do this. And so he was the producer, but he also was that encouraging voice, by, you know, to help push me on into the direction.
I learned how to put myself on the back burner and take care of everybody else, and, you know.
Okay. Daniel, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Talk to us, man. Tell us about the, how do you just do that? I mean, we have a few minutes. Just tell us how this works. Since we have two talents on the line at the same time, that's hard to find. Two talents on the line like this on the line at the same time. How does this work? I mean, how do you, I can't imagine. Because I can't do anything but play records. So when I hear people put music together, singing and all that, how do you do that? What happens? What's the process?
I can play different instruments. I can put music together. But if I hear a song that I really like, I can put myself into it. And once you put yourself into a song, you can make things happen. And, you know, I don't work with everybody that come to me with a little bit of money and say, will you do this? It have to be somebody. Well, now, when I do music, I'm looking for somebody who really believes in what they're doing. Somebody that has national artist, you know, potential. And, you know, I saw all in her.
You saw all that.
Yes, you know. And another good part of that story is her dad, Walter Ellaby. I'm sure you know him just like I do.
Oh, yeah.
He was born in 52, and he, for years, he kept telling me about his daughter. I never knew her. You know, every year I see him in Walmart. You know, my daughter, Mary. I was like, no, I don't. And it went on for years. Believe it or not. And one day she approached me in the parking lot at the Y and introduced herself, and, you know, the rest is history.
Wow. That was amazing, guys. Anybody else on the line want to say anything about that? That was just amazing to me. We have some other people on the line. I don't know whether they want to make, whether they want to talk right now. This is your opportunity. As they say, speak now, forever hold your peace, because we're going to move into the second half of the show in just a second.
Curtis, Leon.
Yes, sir.
This is Joseph. Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you said Walter Ellaby's daughter?
Yes.
Is there a Walter Ellaby Jr. and a senior?
What's your granddad's name, Mary?
My granddaddy was Wade Ellaby.
Wade Joseph.
Okay, so Walter So how old, I mean, you know, cause, you know, because, you know, we're up in age now, so, you know, I don't really know who they're talking about. somebody my age or somebody my daddy's age.
Waldo is Curtis's classmate.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Now, that answers my question right there.
Right.
Because I, for whatever reason, I always thought her granddaddy was named Walter, but her granddaddy was named Wade.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
And I think Walter was in, wait a minute, you said Walter was in Curtis's class.
Yes.
I mean, one of them was in my class. What was the old brother name that was about, would be about 66 now? I mean,
that'd be your uncle.
William. My uncle
William.
William. That's him.
All right. I got you now. And the Sonia, that's your aunt.
Right. She's the baby.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just I was just trying to figure she was somebody like in my generation or another. Okay, so she's a generation after me. Okay, I got it. Okay, good job. That song is really nice. I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed what Daniel said about working with, composing with musicians. Because I always wonder why he wouldn't help. So now I know.
Hey, Joseph, me too. Thank you, Daniel. Well, you never know when the real story is going to come out, do you?
No. I mean, everything happens for a reason, you know. I've always believed that. So thank you. What's your name again, young lady? I apologize.
Mary Ellaby Bennett.
Mary Ellaby Bennett. Thank you, Mary Ellaby Bennett, for coming on the show and letting me understand a lot of things I've always been curious about.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me.
But you can really sing. I'm trying to tell you. You can really sing.
See, I understand that now. She can really sing. So basically what he's saying to me is that I cannot really sing.
Absolutely.
There's a difference between...
Hello?
Hello?
There's a difference between, you know, some people that really like to sing and want to sing and those that can't actually sing.
All right, Joseph, sounds like we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, would you like to speak?
Yes, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Yes, hi. My name is Minister Kanya Williams. I know Mary personally. I watched her grow up, and I'm just overwhelmed just to see her, you know, get her record made. We've been waiting for Mary for years. This is nothing new because she's been singing. She was our youth leader of our youth choir in church. I went to church with her, and she sings like never before, and the anointing on her voice, like I spoke with Mary, and I told her, I said, it's one thing to sing, but it's another thing to sing with the anointing, and she had such conviction when she sings. So to see her get where she is, I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. It's like I won myself.
Yeah,
so Mary, I'm so proud of you, and you know it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling the Brothers for Real Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. We're here every Wednesday from 7 to 8. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3872. And we're waiting to hear from you. But right now, Mary Ellaby Bennett, we're going to go into the second part of our show where we have waiting Miss Danielle Brown. Now, Mary, please hang on as long as you can, because we may want you to sing for us before you leave. Anyway, we have Miss Danielle Brown on the line. And Miss Danielle Brown, I tell you, man, I am so excited to talk to you today because of the special election we had here in District 9 in North Carolina. Now, I tell you, some crazy stuff is going on in this world, and unless we stop it. Unless we put it to a stop, I don't know how to really put it to a stop right now. But like what happened in North Carolina today, where they overrode the governor's veto on his budget. And here's how it went down, folks. The Republicans had told the Democrats that they were not going to vote today. They were not going to vote. But as soon as they went out and started celebrating the 9/11, you know, festivities or whatever you want to call it, the memorials and stuff, the Republicans ran in there and had a vote and overrode the governor's veto. This doesn't even happen in movies. This doesn't even happen in comedies, the stuff that's going on in the world today. But our guest coming up is nonpartisan. She's not going to talk about that. She just want to talk to us about how the organization that she belongs to, the A. Philip Randolph Institute, and what some of the challenges, what I would like to hear from her is how we can overcome some of these challenges that we have for voter registration and voter turnout. But with no further ado, I'm just going to say, Danielle Brown, welcome to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have met Danielle on a couple of occasions. I don't know how, just like most people these days, I don't know how they do what they do, how they do so much of what they do without helicopters. She may be in Fayetteville a while ago, Waysboro after a while. I mean, that's just the way she runs around. But we're just fortunate to have, you know, to be in her loop. I consider ourselves, you know, fortunate to be in her loop. So if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself before you get into my questions. How are you? Who are you?
Who am I? My name is Danielle Brown. I am the organizing director for the North Carolina A. Philip Randolph Institute. We are the senior constituency group of the AFL-CIO, and we focus on voter registration, participation, mobilization, and accountability. So we are the heavy hitters when it comes to your vote. We want you to get out and vote. We want you to register to vote. We want you to educate your family and friends on what it means to vote. And we want you to hold your elected officials accountable for what they say that they are going to do for you when you went to register to vote, so, and went to vote for them. So that is our mission. That is what we do on a daily basis, and I'm so blessed to be able to do what I love to do on a daily basis.
That part you just said about holding these guys accountable, how do we do that? I mean, help me. I want to hold them accountable. How do I do it?
Well, holding them accountable, actually, it's not that hard. It's basically going to them and saying, hey, look, this is what you said you were going to do, and this is what you did or did not do. And making them aware and putting fire behind them to get to do what they said they were going to do. Part of the problem is we as Black people, a lot of times we get used. We get used in the sense of you're coming and you're talking to us and you're listening to our views and what's going on in our community, and you say you're going to, you know, do these things. And these issues are everyday issues that we live. They're everyday issues that we have in our households, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and nothing gets done about them. They get thrown under the wayside. So we have to be more vigilant in saying, hey, look, this is what was said. This is what was going to be done when you came to visit me. Why is it not done? And make them answer to that.
That part you just said, another part you just said about us getting used. Now, here's what you run across in our community a lot, and that's voter apathy. It's like, and it comes from, like you just said, being used so many times. I mean, that's some of it. Let me just put it that way. I know there's something else going on, too, I can't quite grasp. But there is so much of that being used. You know, these guys come around and come to church with you on, you know, during election time, and then they're gone, and you know, your issues never get addressed. The street you talked to them about that needed pavement never gets paved. Mm-hmm. Building down the street that needed some money never gets the money. The old folks in the community, the elders in the community, senior citizens don't get the treat, the care that they promised they would get to them. So how do we rebuild that? How do we rebuild the trust, which I know is one of the big issues in our community? How do we mm-hmm. rebuild that trust, and do you see that as a problem?
We do see that as a problem, and what we say is we tell people take it back, take your voice back by going to vote. The same way that you voted those individuals in, you can vote those individuals out. But you have to be the one to go to the polls and vote and take your friends and your family and get them voting as well. You have to talk to the up and coming next generation about the importance of voting and what that really, really means and what it looks like. Hey, take them with you when you go to the polls so they can see what it looks like, and make that demand. Like I said, the same way you voted them in, it's the same way you can vote them back. And when that is a continuous process and you start seeing that, and stop being repetitive and, just the same person being voted back in over and over again, you start seeing results, because people don't like change. And the biggest thing I see is something must be really, really golden about our vote, because they want to take it from us every single which way they can. So something must be really, really golden about it. So if we start using that golden voice and start taking demands and going to these polls and voting in these local elections, not just the presidential election, but local elections. It's easier to knock on your mayor's door than it is to knock on the president's door.
That's true, that. So let's talk about yesterday. I mean, I know you're in a nonpartisan way. let's talk about yesterday. My thing, first of all, was we really shouldn't even have that. This was just my opinion. They should have just, since the guy cheated, gave it to the other guy in the first place. We shouldn't have had to go through all this again. We know the guy cheated. We knew he cheated at least 900 votes worth. So why didn't we just do it over? Why did we have to do that, I mean? Do you have any, can you make me feel better on that? Do you have any answer for that?
I cannot make you feel better on that. That's the democratic process.
That's the democratic process, which is being totally abused, by the way. But anyway, so that was the democratic process. Okay, got you covered. So what would the big challenge, what would you advise us to be doing now to get ready for 2020? Which we know is going
to
be completely crazy.
Yes, it is. So in preparation for 2020, my suggestion is to educate. I can't say that enough. If you are educating people on the issues and you're educating them on how to turn those issues into the vote, then you're ahead of the game already. A lot of the times what happens is we don't start talking about the election until it's election, quote-unquote, season. For the North Carolina A. Philip Randolph Institute, there is no such thing as election season. Get out to vote information. Education is 24/7, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, every single second. It counts. So we're constantly educating people all year long. Even during the small elections, we're educating people, pushing people to get out there to vote, registering it, making sure that their information is up to date. That is one of the biggest issues that we see a lot of times is people they'll say left and right, oh yeah, I'm registered, but they've moved two or three times since they registered to vote. You have to make sure your information is up to date. Do not give them any type of reason to send you away on election day. So these are the things that we tell people. These are the constant conversations we have to have all the time, not just when voting is right around the corner. It has to be a continuous conversation.
I saw your there's somebody else wanting to talk right now before I get started again.
Okay.
Anyway. You didn't steal that ring.
We got a party going on somewhere. They didn't invite us. I saw your video, your live video in Fayetteville, Cumberland County, where there were people being sent away in droves. Can you give us an idea what was going on with that?
There was a lot of confusion yesterday. There was polling places that were quote-unquote closing early. If everybody knows, on Election Day, all polling places across the board are supposed to be open from one particular time to an ending particular time. Yesterday, it was from 6:30 to 7:30. We had polling places that were closed at 5. We had signs that were sending people to other locations. We had people that were going to locations that they voted at for years and and those locations weren't even open. You had people that were, they were stating that they went in and they were looking at voter ID. Voter ID was not even in play yesterday, but they were looking at your ID and saying, "Hey, look, you're based off your address, you can't, you know, vote in this election." We had people that were stating, "Hey, look, I voted last year for the exact same thing. Why can't I vote this year?" Well, you're in a different district. It was so many different things that were coming out with different people that we were talking to. And it was just mass confusion. And there was a lot of upset people. I had one couple, they had been to 4 different locations yesterday to be told when they got there as the 5th location that they couldn't go, they couldn't vote there. So it was just mass confusion, and there was no solution to any of the confusion. It was just sending people out the door, left and right. So we were encouraging people, you know, to go back in and, you know, and have them and make them look you up. Go back in and say, "Hey, look, I want a provisional ballot." We were trying to encourage people, don't give up. Don't just walk away. Because what happens is, you know, people just give up. They're like, you know, "Hey, look, if I can't even come to to a Board of Elections location and get the right information, then what am I doing?" You know, there was some people that went back in, they came back out with provisional ballots. There were some people that went back in, they made them check their stuff, and they weren't in the right district. So it was just a lot of different confusion yesterday. Our job was to stand out there and to make sure that people were encouraged, that people were pushed, don't leave, don't just take no for an answer. And that's what happens a lot of times in the voting process. People get so discouraged because they get wrong information or they get information that is misleading, and they just give up. And so then they feel like, "Oh, my vote doesn't count." So we have to stand and be like, "Hey, look, no, your vote does count. It does matter. Go back. This is what you do. This is what you ask for." The other thing we have to do as a community is we have to be more vigilant and saying, "We're here. We're poll monitors. We're standing out here. We're making sure things are right." The location we were at yesterday, according to the multiple people that have been there, there were no poll monitors there at all yesterday. So we've got to take control of that. We've got to take our time and say, "Hey, look, if we want our votes to count, we've got to be there too. We've got to stand and say, 'Hey, we're standing out here, you know, hey, I'm here for 4 hours. Tag, you're it. You're here for 4 hours.' You know, whatever it takes to ensure that all votes are counted and people are not just being sent away. We got there about 6 o'clock, the group that I was with yesterday. But according to everybody, this had been going on all day. So we missed out basically on most of the day, all day basically, because there was only an hour and a half left when we were there.
Well, let me ask you something like a situation like where the polls closed at 5 o'clock. Now, that's a serious infraction. What do you do about that? I mean, what happens?
Those you have to report it. That's another thing we fail to do in our communities as well, is we fail to report the injustices that are done to us. People don't know. So you have to be, report it. And the way you report it is you report it by calling the 800 number that they have signs that sit right outside of the polling locations. It's 800-OUR-VOTE or 866-OUR-VOTE. You call that number, and there are attorneys that are on the line that are there to take down the report, to investigate the report, because that is the problem. In a lot of our communities, our black communities, the problem is that we do not make the significant reports that we need to do, that we need to make. And it's a matter of picking up the phone. A lot of times we don't, in yesterday's case, you would have been on hold for a while, but hey, look, it's worth being on hold to make that report. People get frustrated and they say, hey, look, I'm hanging up.
Well, let me ask you this. Where can we find out what happened to the people who closed the poll at 5 o'clock? I'm just asking because that would make us feel better if we can say, well, the people that closed the poll at 5 o'clock went to jail or got fired. Or...
mm-hmm.
Seriously.
So what I would
I mean, if you just report that and then that's all you did was reported it. You feel me?
So
I mean,
you ask for, once you report something, you definitely ask for follow-up from the, attorneys and people that are on the phone for them to be able to give you some type of follow up, and that's how you get those type of answers.
Okay, because that's pretty crazy right there. That's pretty crazy.
A lot of
so
crazy
what's your
things
next?
Happen.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy right there. What I wanted to talk to you, what I want you to do now is talk to us about what we got coming up at the Hollis Center on September the 24th. And
yes.
If you could, ladies and gentlemen, we have a North Carolina A. Philip Randolph Institute and Hollow are presenting the Anson County Voter Education Forum. No excuses,
yes.
Just votes. We're tired of people making excuses not to vote. You got to get out there and vote. I mean,
yes,
seriously,
absolutely.
There are people all over the internet now saying stuff like, well, you know, they're telling black folks, well, y'all don't really need to vote. Ain't nobody doing nothing for y'all anyway, you know what I mean? But let's look at it this way, folks. Look at what people can do against you. Okay? You can say, yeah, he didn't do anything for me. But look what some people do against you. You have to take all that into consideration. You really have to let people know that you're a part of the system. You know, we have to be a part of it. Because once they convince you that you're not even important to the system, nobody cares what you think anyway. That makes sense. Nobody even cares about your vote because it doesn't matter. Your vote doesn't matter. You've convinced yourself or we've convinced ourselves that our votes don't matter. People, our votes must matter. We cannot afford our votes not to matter. But anyway, Danielle, talk to us about September 24th. What are we going to be doing?
So September the 24th, we are going to be, that's going to be one of our first educational pieces for Anson County, and we're going to be teaching everybody the importance of voting and what it means to vote, making sure that your voter registration is up to date. September 24th is also National Voter Registration Day. So we want to make sure that everybody in Anson County is registered to vote and they know the importance of voting and they're going to vote. And we're going to be giving out some information, going over the voting process. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night. A chance for people to ask questions, a chance for us to find out a little bit more about the community and what the needs are of the community and how we can line those needs up with the elected officials that are and their platforms and what that looks like.
Mary Ellaby Bennett,
yes.
Still on the line. Won't you come and
yes.
Sing for us?
Okay.
Hey. Danielle, wouldn't
yes.
that be something?
Absolutely. Hey, we need as much as we can get, whatever it takes.
You get that spirit in there. You get that spirit in the Negro's bones, boy, I tell you.
Whatever it takes. We gotta look. We have to have all kind of unique ways, so whatever it takes.
We have to do it. Hey, look, people. We have to start, like Ms. Brown said, we have to start now. I mean, I'm tired of people running up to me saying, okay, we're voting in 2 weeks. Let's go out and start doing some canvassing. I'm tired of that. I'm really tired of that.
Exactly. And people need to realize that everything that's under, that's quote on, we go to bed every single night for one thing, and we wake up to something completely different every single night and every single morning. So the work is being done as we sleep. So we have to quit being so reactive to everything and be proactive. And in being proactive, that is what that's what September 24th is going to be about. It's about going to be about being proactive and pushing the residents of Anson County to the polls.
Absolutely. So let's polls. Let's start now. 2020 is next year. So if we start now, we may be able to say, for instance, let's say, I know this is, Ms. Brown is not, does not have anything to do with what I'm getting ready to say now. But if we start now, we could probably overcome a 4,000 vote deficit. You know, if we get out here now, it's okay, this guy beat us by 4,000 votes. I'm talking about McCready. If we go out here now and start working, we can start making up for that deficit. But we can't do it in 2 weeks. We can't do it in a month. We need to start right now. Right now, people. Right now. Ms. Brown, what else you got to say? We're going to, I'll show, look, this is the quickest, this is, I always tell everybody, this is the quickest hour of my life when we get on this line and start talking about good stuff and hearing good people sing and stuff like that. One of the quickest hours of my life, just like that. So what's you, what are you doing tomorrow, Ms. Brown? Where is your next step?
Tomorrow is another great, grand, wonderful day, and it's going to be a blessing because I'm going to be able to go to a couple of unions tomorrow to be able to speak about what we're doing and us and APRI as a whole, and just how the importance of ensuring that our labor workers, brothers and sisters, are out voting as well. So that's going to be my day for tomorrow. Just back on the back from place to place as always.
Hey, well, let me just say this: we really appreciate you being. Well, we're fortunate. Let me put it that way: to have access to you and have you come in and speak to our kids at the Anson Academy, which was a beautiful thing. Of course, the principal is still talking about that and what the impact that it had on the students there. So, you know, to be able to have access to you is really powerful and important to us, and we appreciate you being the type of person that you are with all the energy that you have and willing to share it. And we really appreciate that because everybody in positions like yours don't use their energy that way. And you are doing an amazing job, in my opinion. We have some people on the line. Do we have anyone on the line that wants to talk? Because my time is about to run out, folks. My time is running out. I see Kim Harrington on the line. Ms. Harrington, would you like to speak tonight? Anything you'd like to say on behalf of Livingstone College or anything else like that?
Hello. I would just like to say hello, everybody. Our first home game is this weekend. It's the West End Classic. We play Elizabeth City State University. For those of you who don't have anything to do, come on out and support the Blue Bears, your alma mater.
Kim, you may not know me, but we have Ms. Mary Ellaby Bennett on the line right now as you're speaking.
Hey. She has two bears. Both of her daughters are blue bears.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So we're so glad to have them aboard. Yes.
Absolutely. Ms. Bennett, is Savannah on this song? Is she doing, who's doing your backup? Or you like Prince doing
it
all?
My daughter Savannah and my daughter Albertina, they're both doing the background, and Savannah's also doing some of the ad-libbing parts on the song.
Wow. This is a beautiful song.
Savannah is one who serenaded our president when
yes.
I'm so proud of
Got
you.
It.
I'm so proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
Song,
but I'm so proud. Yes.
Well, Mary Ellaby Bennett, Danielle Brown, Joseph Gatewood, Daniel Gatewood, and everybody else on the line. We'd like to thank you guys for joining us on the Brother for Real radio show. We'll be right back next week doing the same thing over and over again. And because we love this song so much, we're going to go out with this song again. God bless you, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Be cool. Let the song fill your spirit up and go to work. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. Gatewood and Truth.
Realizing that it's Him that brought me this far. Many are the trials that I have been through, but God has kept me, and to Him all praise is due. When the enemy tried to make me fall, on His name I did call, and because of Him I can say by infidelity, sickness, money issues, attacked in all areas. I said, oh Lord, what am I gonna do? So-called friends and family talked about me. Anger and depression was all around me. But God held me up, cleaned me up, and said, I'm making and preparing you. I pray many days. You said you're so strong, but I was barely holding on. I tried to help many, but they're the ones that hurt me most. Because of you, God, I couldn't.